is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
To excel in faith, we have to take the conviction of God to heart. We have to take it seriously. We have to let Him bend and shape us and deal with sin in our lives, not for someone else's life, not for someone else, not making excuses. There can be no excuses. As a Christian, there is no excuse. You have the Holy Spirit of God. I talk to people a lot. I counsel with others, Christians. See, you've got to make this decision. You've got to do this. Obviously, this is sin. And you point these things out and they say, I can't do it. You can do it.
Pastor Troy will teach us today that if we want to excel in faith, we have to take conviction to heart. Be ready to listen to God when He speaks to you. Then you will be able to trust God when the battles in life arise. He will carry you through the trial when you depend on Him, not your own strength. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Today we're going to talk about avoiding a faith that fails in Matthew chapter 26. I read something on the value of steel. That if you were to take a $5 bar of steel, if you can start with me, you know how much it's worth? Okay, it's $5. But if you were to take that bar of steel and, say, bend it, press it, and make it into a horseshoe, you will double the value of that bar of steel just by some shaping and everything. But if you were to fashion it, shape, and grind, and do all the things that you needed to do to turn that $5 bar of steel into, say, blades for scalpels, you'll have turned that $5 bar of steel and made it, its value now about $35,000. If you were to take it and do more work on that $5 bar of steel and you made springs for pens, you would cause its value to become $250,000. You know what changed the value of the $5 bar of steel? Shaping, heat, pressing, lots of friction, pain. In the same way, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you become more valuable, not more valuable to Christ, but you become more valuable in the sense that you're a witness, in the sense that you are productive for the kingdom of heaven. You become more valuable as you allow God to bend and shape you. Now, you only become more valuable if you persevere, if you endure, not if you break every time. If you break every time, then you're melted back into the $5 bar of steel, and it's this constant, all right, let's make the horseshoe. Whoop, the horseshoe didn't work. Let's make the horseshoe. But if you persevere, if you hang in there, then your faith grows and you become of great value in the kingdom of heaven as far as your witness is concerned. You know, the difficulties that we go through in life, they give power to our witness. Anyone can say, praise the Lord. Anyone can give counsel, hang in there. But when someone endures, when they persevere, it gives power to their life and to their witness. We've all been given a measure of faith. We can live by faith. We all do it. But we need to exercise it. How do we exercise our faith so that we can avoid a faith that fails? We want to talk about a few ways to learn to do that now. And because today we're going to see some examples of faith that failed. And we're going to take those examples of failed faith and learn some lessons from them for ourselves. Verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Remember, they were celebrating the Passover meal. And now they're going out. Judas has already gone. He's established communion with his disciples. Judas is going, and Judas is going to come back, and he's about to bring the rest of the people. And so they're going out to sing a hymn. They're going to the garden. And as they sung that hymn, verse 31, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. That's a bold statement. And actually, some of us would say that to Jesus right now. If I had to die for you, Lord, I would. But that would be the easy thing to do, actually, is to die for him right now. Just take me now, Lord, I'll die for you. That'd be easy to do. How about living for him? That's hard. And that's what he's called us to do. You're going to die for him, all right. You're going to die to yourself, but you're going to live now for him. Peter said, I will not deny you. Jesus said, tonight, all of you will be made to stumble. They're going to scatter. And Peter responds to that, I won't. Even if all deny you, I will not. Now, what Peter is saying to the Lord in this moment is, Lord, I know what you just said, but you don't know me that well. I will not deny you. And what Jesus is saying to Peter in response is, Peter, I do know you. I know you better than you know yourself. Did you know that that's true? That God knows you better than you know yourself? He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you can know yourself sometimes. Your heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Your heart will lie to you. It'll tell you, you know what? There's reasons we're doing this. We're allowing this sin in our life. There's reasons. We should blame other people. And you go, yeah, that's right. I agree with you. But the Lord, he knows better. He knows. He knows that you will embrace any excuse. If you can use anything to justify your sin, your selfishness, your laziness, your tiredness, whatever it might be, you will. But God doesn't let that fly. God speaks directly to you, and he knows what you can and cannot do. And he never asks you to do something that you cannot do. Because when he asks, he enables. You can do it. You can overcome. I just can't take this relationship, Lord. I want to get close to you, but this relationship is so hard. Yes, it is, without me. But with me, all things are possible. You can do anything with me. You abide in me. You abide in the branch, and you can do it. You can hang in there. But without him, he said, we can do nothing. So yes, in us, we can't. So when you feel like you can't do it anymore, it's obvious you're not in him. You're not abiding in him. You're not close to him so that you can endure. The first step toward any failure or fall is overconfidence, or a self-confidence, a confidence in self. Now, obviously, we want confidence in what we do. We want our musicians up here playing confidently, you know? I know where we're going. You go sit in someone's barber chair. You don't want them to go, oh man, that's a weird hair shape. I don't know about this. And you said a three, what is a three again? You don't want that. You're going to get out of the chair and you're going to go somewhere else. You want confidence in what we're doing, skill, ability. I'm not talking about that kind of confidence. I mean confidence in the Lord to be able to stand, for His purposes and His glory, to do things that glorify Him. Don't get a confidence in yourself, because there is no one in this room that is in a place where you can't fall and do something you would, like Peter say, I would never do that. I would never do that. As soon as you start thinking that, you set yourself on a slippery slope. Because you're capable today of anything you've ever done. You're capable today of doing things you never thought you would ever do. If you put yourself in the wrong places, if you make the wrong decisions, then none of us are above that. Churches, pastors in churches are falling all the time, thinking they're above the situation. I got enough accountability. I got the people fooled, whatever it might be. You're never, when you start getting too confident in your own ability, in yourself, you are on a slippery slope. Arrogance begins to set in, overconfidence. And here's what happens. You stop listening to the Lord. Because He's trying to convict you and you won't hear it. I don't need it. That must be for someone else. Jesus was, you could say, convicting Peter. All of you are going to be made to stumble. I won't, Peter. Three times. You deny me three times. That should be conviction. See, if Peter had listened, if Peter had taken Jesus' words to heart, then as soon as he denied him the first time, he could have thought, whoa, wait a minute. He said, I'm going to do this three times, maybe get a course correction. But Peter did not take it seriously. He was oblivious. And he denied Christ three times. There was no course correction because he was overconfident in himself. To excel in faith, we have to take the conviction of God to heart. We have to take it seriously. We have to let Him bend and shape us and deal with sin in our lives, not for someone else's life, not for someone else, not making excuses. There can be no excuses. As a Christian, there is no excuse. You have the Holy Spirit of God. I talk to people a lot. I counsel with others, Christians. See, you've got to make this decision. You've got to do this. Obviously, this is sin. And you point these things out and they say, I can't do it. You can do it. The thing is, they don't want to do it. I don't want to go through the difficulties. I don't want my life like that. I want my life like this. And so, they say, I can't do it. But what's really true is, I won't do it. To excel in faith, we have to take conviction to heart and we've got to enter the battle. Don't think you've got everything under control. Don't think you can control everything. God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is to master you. It's as if it's studying you, finding every little weakness, and it will pounce upon you. Because it knows what your weakness is. Maybe it's a relationship. It's this relationship you're in. God has said, get out. It's not good. You argue all the time. It's not a good thing. Stay away. All the signs are there. But you won't have it. You're going to hold on to it. When we hold on to the things that God convicts us about, there is no promise. There's no guarantee we will live through it. I've seen it. I've seen it too many times. I've seen individuals on worship ministries go back into one more experience in the world, and they go and they get into that relationship or that one-time thing, and they end up with the disease that takes their life. Or they get addicted to that drug that for some reason they've been able to avoid or overcome addiction in the past, but it takes them down to a new low they never thought they'd experience. Do not be overconfident. Do not think you can control things. When the Spirit of God convicts, listen. It's very, very important, and it's important for our faith. So listen and trust God when he speaks. And if you do that, if you will listen, you'll have a faith that begins to excel. You'll begin taking on the battles. You'll begin growing in your faith and persevering, and it'll change your life. Verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he says to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I mean, he told them, my spirit is vexed to death. This is a very crucial time, guys. Listen, pray. If you have any love for me, if you have anything in you, pray, please. And he goes away. We're going to find out how faithful they were to pray in a moment. But Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane now. Gethsemane is a word, it's Gat Shmanim. If you break it down, Gat is a press. Shmanim is the plural form of the word olive or olives. It's an olive press in Gethsemane. There were lots of olive trees. Olives were great, they were valuable, but what was really valuable about the olive was the oil that it produced. Olives were gathered and put on grinding stones, a lower millstone, an upper stone, and they were pressed, ground, so that the oils began to flow and they would collect those oils, and they were of great value. There could be no oil received unless it went through Gat Shmanim, the oil press, or the olive press, or Gethsemane. And oil was always a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. If you look back at your Old Testament even, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. When they saw that branch, the seven-branched candle, and it was being lit and always on fire, and it wasn't because a priest went in there and did it, but there was a constant source of oil. And that's when he said, not by might, not by power, but my Spirit, this is going to happen. So oil was a picture of the Holy Spirit. And think about the picture that we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus being pressed. The olive, the flesh of the olive, wasn't what was all that valuable. It was what was in the olive that was so valuable. It had to be pressed so that it could be released. And in the same way, Jesus had to go through a crushing of sorts, a pressing, so that something of great value could be released, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is good for you that I go away, so that I can send the Helper. The Helper will come to you. See, this trial would be to save the world, but it was also to send the Holy Spirit out into the world. It was for their good that he went through this trial. It was for the good of the world. And honestly, we all have our Gethsemanes. Those things that we go through that are very painful, they're difficult, but they do something in us. They press us, they shape us. And they make us who we need to be so that we have an even greater value in our witness, in our ability to minister to others for the kingdom of heaven. We hate to be pressed. We hate difficulties. We hate trials. We hate hard times. But we love victories. But we got to remember that you cannot have a victory without a battle raging. And if you never engage the battle, you can never see victory. Shepherds say that the greenest pastures are in the valleys. In fact, not only the greenest pastures, but the sweetest, best water sources are in the valleys, in the low areas. But they also say that the sheep hate to go down to the valleys. because it's this whole angle and it's like, whoa, that's scary. We're looking down and, you know, they're sheep. And they just hate to go into the valleys. But once they're there, they find it to be the sweetest place, the most lush place. And it's a lot like us. We hate to go down the valley. But though we fear the trials, we fear the hard challenges, the difficulties, the tests, it's very often in those places we find the sweetest times with Christ. That we are so closer. Actually, He is never more close than when we're in those times. Many who enter times like this, they get through them, or even in them, many will say, it's not as bad as I anticipated when I went in and I had to go through all of this, when I first found out we were going to go through this. And many of them, when they look back, will say, I wouldn't change it for anything because of what God has made me, what God has done in me. I have learned so much. I have experienced the Lord in ways I never did before. They would never trade it. Now you're thinking, well, that's if you come through it. What if you don't get through it? That's our fear. I knew a woman whose name was Barb. Barb went through a trial she did not come through. She knew it. I still talk about her to this day. Her faith still inspires me to this day. Watching her go through something she was not going to ever overcome. Though we would pray, though we would seek the Lord. When she was in remission from the cancer, she was powerful because she had gone through it. But she was never more powerful than when she was terminal. Never even close to more powerful. Because of the faith she demonstrated. And she said to me, Troy, it's actually not bad letting go. When you know where you're going, it's not bad letting go. You just have to resign yourself to it. That's our big problem. We don't resign ourselves to it. Give it to God. A way to avoid a faith that fails is don't complain when you're in the valleys. Don't complain about going into the valley. Don't complain about being in the valley. Don't complain about having been in the valley. In fact, don't complain. Complaining compromises your witness. Grumbling, complaining, all of those ticky-tacky things, they compromise everything you could ever. You could get through the trial. But if you had complained throughout it, your witness after the trial is very neutralized at best. He goes, yeah, God will get, I went through it. Yeah, we saw you go through it. All you did was complain and this and this and this and that. So you did away with something that could have been used by God to bring Him great glory. You lost every chance at using that. Don't do that. The trials are going to come. The difficulties are going to come. Difficult people are going to come. Things are not going to go your way. Get over it. They're going to come. But don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't be a bad witness in those times. Instead, here's what you do. Draw near to the Lord.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us. And please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have